Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Right, morning everyone. So we are entering our final preach on devoted. We've been looking at the last few weeks, we've been looking at especially Acts 2, 42 to 47. And we've been looking at the early church, the overall kind of the early church. And this overview that Acts 2:42 gives us, and we see in this what the first church, what the early church, right at the beginning, what they kind of were devoted to, what they sought after. I mean, in the next kind of coming weeks, as next week we've got Joe preaching, and then we've got baptisms the week after. Yeah, baptisms. So put that in your diary. Baptisms. It's going to be an amazing, amazing Sunday. Wonderful. We've got a few guys getting baptized. We're going to serve some food to start with, hopefully. And then it's going to be, if you were here Easter, it's going to be a similar kind of service to that, where much more casual, much more relaxed, a short time of worship. These guys are going to share their testimonies. And then I'm going to give a brief kind of gospel explanation, then we're going to all head over to Wesham, baptize these guys, hopefully pray that it's going to be a glorious day, and we can enjoy company with each other and just have a great day. And let me see, don't just come expecting to have a great day yourselves. Come thinking, who can I bring? Or think before, you know, who can I bring? Because actually, if you know anyone, or you know, you've got someone, whether they know these guys or not, who is interested in Jesus, interested in the cross, interested in Christianity at all, there could be no better service than this. Like I said, they're going to be fed, they're going to be watered, they're going to hear real live situations where people's lives have been completely transformed. They're going to hear the gospel simply explained to them, and then they're going to see physically people being dunked underwater. And yeah, there is no better occasion for that. So that said, this week, devoted. So like I've been saying, in the past few weeks, we're looking at what the church was devoted to, what they sought after. And what we've seen is actually that the church was devoted to truth. It was devoted to generosity. It was devoted to worship. It was devoted to the lost. And today we're going to see how this church was devoted to one another, to community. And Julian last week, he wonderfully kind of gave this dictionary definition of what it means to be devoted. And when we say, you know, we seek after it, we desire it, we long for it. But to be devoted means that we long for something, we seek after it when things are good, when it's easy. But also we seek after it when times are hard as well. We seek after it when things aren't quite right, when things aren't going exactly how we think they should be going. We seek after it all the time. And this phrase came from this week. There's a Latin phrase, which I'm not going to say in Latin. I'm just going to say, give you the translation of what it is. But it's the phrase is, if you want peace, prepare for war. If you want peace, prepare for war. And we're going to see, I'm going to come back to that later, we're going to see how that really ties into this whole thing of being devoted, not just to community, but to the whole sense of how church should really be like. So let's read it again for the last time in this series. Acts 2:42-47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray God that you would make us a people who long for strong friendships, who long for community. And Lord God, that we are a community that is willing to fight to that end. God, I pray, Jesus, that we would be a church full of strong friendships, and we would be a church that didn't just strive for good community, but had great community, because we are a people who know that it's not optional, but we know that it is something that you created us for. Amen. Amen. Just to say, right, this, I think I've been preaching for, well over 10 years. And I think this is the first time I've ever used PowerPoint. So I plan to use it again, but it may not be. I was hoping to have one of those clicky things, but not there. So Pete's going to do his best to keep up. So thanks, Pete. Right. So we see, don't we? We see, and we know this, and we've talked about this time and time again. If you've been in this church for any time at all, you'll know that we've talked about community time and time again, because we know it's not something that's an add-on. We see that from the very beginning, when God said, you know, let us create man. He didn't create man. He didn't want, because he was lonely. It wasn't something because he was lacking friendship. Actually, we see that God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they lived in perfect community for eternity past. And the purpose of creating man was to bring them into this wonderful community. Just like the church, as we'll see later. Actually, the purpose of the church is to have great community, not so that we stay insular, but to have great community that we invite the world into. We invite our friends into. And we see straight from the beginning when God says to Adam, you know, he makes Eve, because he says, right, it is not good for man to be alone. I will create a helper for him. So God understands that community, God doesn't say, he creates us for community. And so we aim as a church to be friends. But we don't just want to aim for friendship or aim for community. Actually, we want to hit the bullseye, church. We want to, you know, if community was a dartboard, we want to hit the bullseye. We want to hit the dead center. You know, and Scripture, thankfully, Scripture tells us, and as we looked at last week, actually, our plumb line to what we say, what is true, what is not true, is Scripture. The world tells us all sorts of crazy things, ultimately, of what friendship should look like, what people should and shouldn't say, what a friend looks like. But Scripture is the only place where we find what real, true, bullseye, great community looks like. So I've got 5 points here. Great community is encouraging. The Bible talks about a community that's made up of every type of person, all colours, all creeds, all backgrounds, rich, poor, young, old. It should be a place. Church should be a place where the young mix with the old, where the young in faith mix with the old in faith. You know, we should have babies. We should have grandparents in the faith. You know. And the whole point of this is that the church is multicultural, multifaceted, and that's what we want. And in that multicultural, in that multifaceted thing, which nowhere else on the planet is like, it does what nothing else does. It's in Galatians 6:2 says that bears one another's burdens. We are called to bear one another's burdens. You know, we are called to be like Barnabas, a friend. We're called, each of us is called to be like a Paul, a teacher. We are called to each of us, no matter how far along in our journey, we're called to befriend one another, to teach one another. You know, and you may think, well, I'm not very far along. How can I encourage someone? You know, Hebrews 10 says that we are to consider how we may spur one another on towards good deeds, love and good deeds. You know, Paul writes in Ephesians 2 that we have been predestined to do good works. And it says that in community, a bullseye community, a great community, encourages one another into our good works. And that's so like the grandparents of the faith and the fathers of the faith can kind of encourage the young into what God has called them to do. But, and you may be thinking, well, I'm just a baby in the faith. How can I encourage? I've got, you know, there's no one below me. How can I encourage those who are less than me? Let me just say, the wonderful thing about being church is that when a young believer for the first time prays out, when a young believer for the first time prophesies or speaks in tongues, let me tell you, and many of you know this, that is one of the most, for those of us who've been a Christian for a while, that is one of the most encouraging things that we can ever, ever hear. You know, it's great. It's great as a leader to be able to have people say, that was a great preach. That was you. That was, thank you for saying that. Thank you. That was great. But you know what? It is so encouraging to hear someone for the first time prophesy out. You may not get that, but it is amazing. So please, and that's part of the body, building one another up. That's how we can all encourage. So great community is encouraging. Number two, great community is fun. You know, community should never be boring. It should never feel dull. You know, the church should never feel dull or mundane or just kind of, you know, it's just something that we do. No. Psalm 133 says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together. And that's why we love as a church, you know, that weekend away was brilliant because it's basically like here, isn't it? But we get to spend time with each other for a whole weekend. It's why we love kind of sending our youth to New Day. It's why we love devoted in things like that, where we get to be in another's presence, because being part of church should be anything but boring. You know, you may be thinking, but surely there's lots of more important things to do than kind of having fun with each other, messing around, and whatever. Surely we're called to a higher purpose. Well, yes. But actually, God says that we should enjoy the journey as we're on it. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that every day is going to be great. But actually, we're called to enjoy church. It should be enjoyable. So great community is enjoyable, it's fun, and it's encouraging. Great work, by the way, Pete. You're doing brilliant with these slides. Number three, great community attracts the Holy Spirit. And we know this, don't we? You know, the Bible says that in Matthew 18:20, it says, When two or three believers are gathered together, there I am in their midst. You know, and we see in the book of Acts, don't we? We see a church that habitually meets together, eats together, worships together. And as a result, what happens? The Lord adds to their number day by day those who are being saved. Because the Holy Spirit is there. You know, being church on Sundays is definitely really important. It's great, and it's really important that we come and we meet here together on Sundays. But you know what? It's also really important that we meet together during the week, because that's when real ministry happens. Yes, we can pray for one another. We can bless one another here. But when two or three are gathered during the week, That's when amazing things happen. That's when we read in the book of Acts, you know, in a few weeks' time, we're going to see Peter and John taking a walk, and they meet. They're not in church. They're not in a prayer meeting. They're taking a walk together, two spirit-filled believers. And when two spirit-filled believers are together, the Holy Spirit's pouring out of them. See, like we talked about with generosity, you know, We can't muster up generosity on our own. It's when we're filled, when we're rooted in Christ, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what pours out of us is Christ. What pours out of us is Christ. What pours out of us is generosity. What pours out of us is friendship and love for those around us. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Peter and John are going to do in the next chapter, and they're walking along, they see a guy on the road, and what out from them flows mercy, flows generosity, flows love. And they pray for this guy. He gets healed. He becomes a Christian. And thousands of others become Christian. The church just explodes. That's what we want. But it's not going to happen without the Holy Spirit. We want the church to grow. But for the church to grow, it needs to be fun. We need to be encouraging one another. Number four. Great community fosters love.
How many of us have been to a wedding service? I don't know if you've got this for yours, Hannah, but where 1 Corinthians 13 is read. And at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, what does it say? Paul writes, "And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of all is love." You see, Paul held above all else in his letter to the Corinthians, love. And the same, he does it again in the book of Colossians. He says in the book of Colossians, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity." So he's got this picture of a coat, basically. You know, when someone sins against you, when someone does something, when things aren't quite right in the relationships or whatever, he says, you know, put on love. Put on, like a coat, put on love. Because ultimately, you know, which you can't do. Remember, you cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. So a Spirit-filled community that is encouraging one another, that is having fun along the way, that is filled the Holy Spirit, outpours from it love. Love for each other, love for, you know. And let's face it, we're a bunch of unlovable people. Not just at times, most of the time. But his love comes pouring, overflows from us through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we love one another. We want the best for one another. And number five, great community is authentic. In the book of Genesis, it says, Adam and his wife were both naked and unashamed. And what that means is that they knew one another. They knew everything about one another. They knew that they knew the best things, they knew the worst things. Now, there wasn't sin then, but actually that is a picture still of what community should be like. It should be real. It should be authentic. It shouldn't be plastic. People shouldn't have to come into the church and feel like they have to cover up, feel like they have to put on a plastic face, pretend that they're okay when everything isn't okay. This should be a place where it is safe, above all other places, where it is safe to make mistakes because grace and forgiveness is present. Because this is a community that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that loves one another, that is encouraging each other to do good works, and that is fun as we do that, and therefore it is safe to be authentic. It is safe to be real. Because you know that when you are real, that when you are authentic, that you're not going to get shot down. That people aren't going to whisper about you. Instead, people are going to champion you. They're going to still encourage you. They're still going to love you. And you know what? Community, friendship, guys, it runs right through the center of this church. It's one of our core values. Look, we've got it written on that banner. Community. It's you know, we are a community. You know, we are a community of all these things. And we're a community that is authentic. It's who we are. It's who we are because we don't ultimately believe it's an option. You know, community is life-giving. And it's ultimately, whether you believe it or not, it is essential for growth. You know, the scriptures say that we are better together in Romans 12. You know, Jesus calls us to be not a group of individuals. You know, I've joked about this a few months ago about virtual church. You know, church isn't about one person waking up, choosing, you know, putting on their virtual headset, choosing the best worship band to listen to, and then listen to the best worship, the best preacher in the world. You know, that's not church. Jesus doesn't call us to individual lives. He calls us to be family, he calls us to be brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. And that's why, you know, as a leadership team, we talk, we think of how many ways in church can we make it possible for us to connect as community. It's why we do things like we have coffee at the beginning before we start. It's why we have coffee in the middle as well. We have a coffee break in the middle. Most churches don't do that. Because ultimately, most churches say you have a coffee, you know, people can arrive with a drink, or they can, at the end, they can stay a bit later and have a drink, but you don't have it in the middle because it disturbs the flow, because you want to kind of, you want to receive, you want to praise God, receive from him, and then go straight into the preach from that. That may be true, but we value community so much. We say, right, we're going to break from that. We're going to break from the Holy Spirit, and we're going to believe the Holy Spirit is still present and amongst us whilst we drink tea and coffee and eat a biscuit and chat with one another. We believe that. That's why we do it, because we want to foster community. We want to foster friendships. It's why we do small groups. It's why we do coffee mornings. It's why we do youth group. It's why we do these things. Because we want to foster as many places as possible. Our goal as a leadership team is to create as many opportunities in the week as possible for you guys to be friends. But just because we do these things, it doesn't mean that you're going to be friends. It doesn't mean that we're going to have a great, authentic, wonderful community. Actually, that's down to you. That's down to you. Friendships in this church. We can do as much. We can plan as much in, make as much space as possible as we can possibly feel that we can allow as a leadership team. But actually, a great community, ultimately, friendships is down to you. And as I said at the beginning, if you want peace, prepare for war. If you want friendships, if you want community, prepare to fight for it. So let me ask you, where is your fight? Where is your fight? You know, because it could be hard, can't it? It can be hard to be in community. And sometimes we can feel like we're on the edge, and especially with time pressures. Maybe if you're guarded, maybe something's happened to you and it makes it hard for you to open up. Sometimes maybe you're introverted. You know, they're just me. But what is it for you? But community, guys, community is God's design for us. And ultimately, good, strong community is a sign of maturity, mature faith. Because at the end of the day, you know, when we grow horizontally with one another, we can't fail but to grow vertically with God. You know, Jesus says, doesn't he? He says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, your whole being. Love God and then love man, love your neighbor. You know, Paul, James kind of turn that on its head. Don't they? They say. A sign, ultimately, that you love God is that you love people. Love people. Love your neighbour with all your heart, soul and strength. And that is a fruit of that you love God. And therefore, guys, therefore, church, it is worth fighting for. Now let's just take a time out for a second. Ask yourself this question. Do you believe that friendship is worth fighting for? Do you believe that being friends? Do you believe that community in this church? Do you believe that having friends right here is worth fighting for? Because if you don't, I mean, there's no point in continuing, is there? Guys, friendships, community in this church, in God's church, is worth fighting for. You know, Acts 2 pictures a church that loves one another, that is filled with the Spirit, that has fun, that is encouraging, that as a result is authentic and grows and grows and grows and grows. And that's our goal. To spiritually become more like Christ. to numerically see his fame and renown be proclaimed across Blackpool, you know, in the whole of the Fylde region. We want to see his name made famous in this area. We want to see his name ring out in the streets of Blackpool and beyond. And the Bible says that the way that he does that is through his church, through his community, his God-made community. It's not an option. It's, in fact, it's essential for, and therefore it is worth fighting for with everything that we have. It is worth fighting for. So church, let me ask you, how do we fight? How do we fight? It's all right being hypothetical, but how do we actually fight? Well, number one, we pray. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We pray. I mean, how often when we're worried about something, things aren't going right, or maybe things are, but we take them on ourselves. We try and fix them ourselves. We try and do it ourselves, and we leave God out of the picture. Guys, do you pray for this church? Do you pray for the community of this church? I tell you what, one of the things that we've done recently as a leadership team is when we get together, we pray. And we pray for relationships in this church. We pray that God would protect us from the enemy. Because we have an enemy, guys. We have an enemy who will do everything he can to rip the community of this church apart. His desire is for us to be individual. He'd rather there are no Christians, but as there are, his desire is for them to be separate, to live in separate, do in their own separate bubbles, not come together. His desire is for relationships to be broken, and we as leadership team are praying, you know, on a weekly basis that, you know, God, you would come and you would keep our relationship strong. You would make them stronger. God, come. Come, God. Give us an amazing community. Are you praying for this church? Number two, pray. Prayer is really important. Pray. Pray for each other. Philippians, I could have picked any, but I love the book of Philippians, any of the epistles, because Paul is so great at this. He writes the start of Philippians, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. Paul prays, and we see this through all those epistles, he prays for individuals. He's praying for individuals. He's praying because he loves his church. He loves the church. And I tell you what, God has given us such a heart for the church. God gave me a heart for the church when I was very young. And in that, God fosters that by getting us to pray. We pray for one another. But let me tell you a secret. And I love the church. Don't judge me for this. You know, I love everything about the church. But people are hard work. They are, aren't they? No, I get it. You know, Bono, I think it was said, he said, you know, I love Jesus, but I can't stand his bride. I get that. And I see some of you smiling, so I think you get that too. You know, people, Christians, are the best thing about church, but they're also sometimes the worst thing about church. You know, people are hard. People are annoying. People are frustrating. People are unkind. People are selfish. And let me tell you, we are all people. We are all. If you are saved here, we are all people who have been crucified with Christ, raised with him from the grave. But we may be saved, but we are not yet fully sanctified. We are not as we will be when we see him face to face. Until that time, we are still sinful. And you may say, yeah, but they annoy me. They do stuff that's wrong. We are all those people, me, you included. Every single one of us in here can be grumpy, moody, unkind, selfish. And that's just how it is. But friendship is worth fighting for. And one of the best ways we can do that is by praying for one another. Do you pray for one another in this church? Do you pray for individuals in this church? Do you pray for their good? Do you pray for blessing on them? Number three, don't listen to gossip, or don't be a gossip. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." We have such power in what we say. You have such power in what you say. Do you use what you say to bring others down? You know, when you're alone, when you're just one and two, do you bring others down? Or do you talk people up? You know, James says that our mouths can be used for blessings or for curses. He writes in James 3:4-5, he says, "Look at the ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by the smallest of rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great forest fire a little fire kindles." What he's saying is, see, look, ships, they're massive, but they can do harm or good with such a tiny thing. See, forest fires, you see like those on the news in California or Australia or whatever, these massive forest fires, these massive destruction, it can start with just a small spark. Destruction can start with just one little word. And Satan will use that. Satan will try and destroy his church. Will destroy Christ's church through what people say. God is giving you power in your tongue to build church or break it down. How are you using your tongue? How do you use it? What do you use it for? To build up or to tear down? Number four, spend time together. Spend time with one another. Now, Hebrews 10 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another." This is all in the sense we read Hebrews 10 earlier on. It's about, you know, and the whole thing is that when we spend time, like we said earlier on, when we spend time with one another, you are doing something in the spiritual realm. When you spend time with one another, you are not just hanging out with a friend. Actually, you are edifying, you are building up. You know, we are encouraging one another when we spend time with one another. But we have this weird concept in our culture, don't we? We say, you know, we want peace. We want peace. And what goes with peace? Quiet. Well, let me say, quiet, quite often, is the enemy to peace. Peace, quiet means distance. Means things aren't said. Means relationships aren't being built. No. True community, true friendship isn't quiet. Actually, it's noisy. It's loud. There's shouting. There's fun. There's disagreement. There's arguing. There's people challenging one another. There is lots going on. It is a lot of things, but it is not quiet. It is not quiet. Peace. Peace is amazing. But the enemy wants quiet. The enemy wants us to be quiet. Guys, are you making friends? Are you making time in your life? How are you making time in your week to spend time with one another? to have noisy times with one another, where friendships can be kindled and built, where wonderful fires of not destruction, but wonderful fires of breakthrough, of friendship, of life change can happen. Are you making time for one another in your weeks? Because that is a wonderful way that we can fight against the enemy. We can fight with prayer for praying for this church. We can fight with prayer for praying for one another. We can fight by using our mouths for good and not gossip. And we can fight by how we choose to spend our time, by spending our time with the people here. And number five, wisdom. I realize I'm running a bit late, so I'm going to try and talk a bit quicker now. But yeah, number five, wisdom. Right, wisdom. Now, a few weeks ago, we had Angie and Jane with us. And they asked us a really interesting question. They asked us a question. The question was, what do you have grace for? Which also means basically saying, what are you called to? What has God put on your heart to do that you can do? And what are they getting at? You know, for me, that is, I am called to be a husband to Jen. I am called to be a father to my three kids. And I'm called to lead this church. And they were saying, so what can you do? What has God given you grace to do? What ultimately are you doing right now that you shouldn't be doing? And actually, it was a brilliant, wonderful time with them. And actually, we've decided that we need to change some of the ways that we are leading our lives, the ways that we're doing stuff, that, you know, Jen is going to stop doing some things in church. Because ultimately, we're called not just to make church happen. We are called to lead this church. We are called, and God has put it on our hearts that ultimately, you know, from the beginning, what God called us to do is how we'd mirrored in seeing church done, you know, through people like Rob and Joe. We'd seen church, you know, done in, with them building community. And that's what God put on our hearts. And he said to us, you know, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want to put your time and focus and energy into, is you building community. Now, we haven't been able to do that for so long because of my illness. But actually, I'm at a stage now where we can do that. And so we're thinking, what should we not do so to make that happen? And so, you know, and Claire, wonderful, she's not here at the moment, but to bless her, she didn't know that we had these talks, but she brought a prophetic word over us. And she said, I see people coming into your house. I see your house full of people. And as they are coming into your house, they are getting wet. I don't think she meant kind of what happened the weekend. Inside joke. If you want to know what happened, I'll gladly tell you. But anyway, so people came coming into our house, and they, what she said, what she was, her idea wasn't that we get wet with a hose pipe, that people would be getting wet with the Holy Spirit as they came amongst us, as they spent time with us, as they came in our house. And yes, you know, I led Bible studies in teaching, but also they just were around our dinner table. That's really excited us. And that's what we've chosen to chase after for this next season, to actually say, no, this is what is important for us. And that takes wisdom, because actually some things have got to go. And actually, that's really scary, because that means that some of you are going to have to pick up stuff that we're going to have to drop to make this happen, to do what God has called us to do. But guys, we fight with wisdom. Let me just read this verse. Okay, it might sound a bit weird to start with, but I'll explain it. Okay. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a company of fools suffers harm. Now, basically what this is saying is, you know, some people add to you and some people take from you. Now, to be a community, to be a community of true friends, we need to, and we should be spending time with this, all different sorts of people. We should be able to have people in our homes who take from us, who we can give to and pour out to. And we should be able to be with people who give to us. But there is wisdom in knowing the right times to do that. You know, so there are times, you know, where we just need to spend time with people who massively give to us, like spending time with Jane and Andy, like spending time with Rob and Joe, people who massively add to us.
there are times, and I especially encourage you to do that, especially if you're married, you know, to have times. You know, we did this when we were in Lancaster, that, you know, there'd be times when we were out a lot of the time, but we would have times actually, no, this night of the week, you know, this night of the week, we're going to have friends over from church. This night of the week, we're going to have friends over who aren't in church. This night of the week, okay, we're having no one over. This is for us. This is time where me and Jen are just going to have on our own. Actually, it's good to do that. It is good to say, do you know what? I believe in spending time with people in the church. I believe that actually we fight by spending time with people in the church. You know, that makes friendship. But Monday night or Tuesday night, whatever, it's just me and my wife. It's just space for me. Actually, I say, and that's okay. Actually, that's more than okay, because ultimately we want a strong community that doesn't just last 2 years and then you're exhausted because you're spending time with everyone and you're just completely exhausted and burnt out. No, we want a community that lasts for 10, 20, you know, to the end of time. We want a great community. It means being wise with our time, knowing when to give, knowing when to receive. You know, wisdom is knowing what we have grace for in the moment. And I know that some of you may be feeling overwhelmed, you know, thinking, I can't squeeze anymore. I know I spend time with people. I can't squeeze any more time with people. No, that's not what I'm asking. But pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom, how to spend your time, how to be wise with your time. Guys, we all have ultimately the same amount of time in our lives. Everyone has 7 days, 24 hours in those 7 days. But how we use that requires wisdom to do that effectively. And that never looks like total seclusion. Meet together. But maybe it means, actually, this night of the week, it's just me and my wife, or it's just me, time to recharge. It's important. It is so important. And people come amongst us and they say, you know, this is a church with great community. This is a church that has wonderful community. Rob said it to us. Alan said it to us. Andy said it to us. So we fight, church. We fight with wisdom. We fight with time. We fight with our tongues. We fight with prayer for this church. We fight for prayer for one another. And what I love about this church is I know that you are a people who are prepared to fight. You are a church who are prepared to fight for community, to prepare to fight for friendships. And I am excited because I believe that this church is going to grow. I believe that I believe this church community can get better. But I believe that we are not going to be insular and focusing ourselves, but actually we are going to be a church that draws the outsider into our community, that sees the lost saved and they stay because they see real community amongst us. They see friendship. They see fun. They see encouragement. They see love. They see real, authentic community. And I know I'm long, so I'm going to pray. But guys, community is worth fighting for, and we are not going to give up fighting for community. So I hope you are with me. So Lord Jesus, I pray. I pray for the community in this church. I pray that you would bless it, Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this would be a church where real friendships are made. And people may go, people may come, but friendships would stay, Lord Jesus. What you have created, you haven't created the church to be an organization, Lord Jesus, but you have created it to be a family of mums, of sons, of brothers, of daughters, of fathers, of grandpas and grandmas and babies, Lord Jesus, of all walks of life, of all stages of faith, Lord God. You have created your church to be a community of friends on mission together, Lord God, so make it be here. And Lord God, I love this church, and I pray, God, that you would increase the sense of community amongst us. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.